Hello, everyone. Before I start the next podcast episode, I just wanted to let you know that Helping Couples Heal will be doing our next online couples workshop on September 27th and 28th. And we will be doing our very first in-person workshop in California on October 18th and October 19th. And that is the first in-person workshop that we are offering since before COVID. So if you're interested in either of those workshops in September or October, please email support@helpingcouplesheal.com, or you can go to the website helpingcouplesheal.com to learn more. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, a place for healing and hope for couples impacted by betrayal resulting from infidelity and or sex addiction. Your host is Marnie Breaker, licensed marriage and family therapist, certified sex addiction therapist, and founder of the Center for Relational Healing in Los Angeles and San Diego, California. The Helping Couples Heal podcast was launched in 2021 with the intention of bringing hope to couples all over the world who are desperately trying to recover from the devastating impact of betrayal. Realizing how many people the podcast was reaching and that we could offer even more support to our listeners, Marnie co-founded Helping Couples Heal, which has since grown into a global online coaching organization. This podcast is the foundation of all the work that we do at Helping Couples Heal. Thank you for listening. Marnie brings over a decade of experience and expertise in the field of betrayal trauma and is honored to support you wherever you may be in your healing. If you've lost hope, you've come to the right place. Now, take a slow, deep breath and let's begin with the Helping Couples Heal podcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Helping Couples Heal podcast. This is Marnie, and today I'm going to be doing a short but I think profound and powerful podcast episode about a topic that comes up all the time in the work that I do. And when I say all the time, that's not an exaggeration. I would say it's probably one of the number one issues and topics that are brought to me, particularly from betrayed partners. And it's a tough one. And this is a topic about the experience that many betrayed partners have when they find out about the betrayal and their partner, either from the beginning, is sort of not making an effort to help him or her heal, not really making an effort to help the relationship heal, or it could be a situation where that person is incredibly remorseful from the beginning, shows empathy or what may appear like empathy, and says that they will do whatever it takes, that they're all in, and then the behavior or sort of evidence for being all in is not there. So what I see in my practice is that the partners are confused, particularly in the cases where the one that hurt them has said, I'm in, I'll do it, tell me what to do, I'll go to this group, I'll do that thing. And then the actions or proof is lacking. And so that creates a tremendous amount of confusion for a betrayed partner, but then also puts the partner in a position of not really knowing what to do. And because most betrayed partners want to heal the relationship, you know, not all can, and not all will want to. But in my practice, what I see is that many people want to at least try to do that work. So it's incredibly painful for those partners when the one who's caused all of this actually does not show up to participate in the healing and the repair. So recently, I was going through some old files in my house with documents and worksheets and different things that I used to hand out to clients in person before COVID and before I moved my practice all online. And I found an excerpt called Letting Go of Those Not in Recovery, and it is an excerpt from Melody Beattie's book from The Language of Letting Go. The name of it was called Letting Go of Those Not in Recovery. And there was something about it that just drew me in. And I read it and I was struck with how much that reminded me of this dynamic that I see with betrayal trauma, where oftentimes the betrayed partner is really wanting and wanting to believe and wanting to hope and just wanting to put in the work to try to make the relationship work and heal. And then the other person, again, particularly or usually the one who's caused this, is more reticent or just vacillates in their willingness or vacillates in their actions and the pain that comes from that. And I have a lot of partners that say to me, what can I do? What can I do to get, I'm going to say him, because right now what I'm dealing with most often is female betrayed partners. So for right now, I'm just going to refer to the betrayed partner as a woman and the betrayer as a man, because that is what I am generally seeing in my practice most often. But of course, I just want to validate that it is not so much a gender issue as it is a human issue. And so the saddest thing that I see is when a partner really, really is committed to healing, even though they are in so much pain and there's been so much trauma and so much shock and all of the, just all of it. And then they still want to do the hard work, but the person that caused it is not showing up in the same way and sometimes not showing up at all. So the question that I get from a lot of partners is, what can I do? Can I bring him in to a session? Can I have you talk to him? How do I change this? You know, his therapist or his coach is probably not getting the true story. I want to talk to that person to, you know, give them the true story. What do I do? Who can I send him to? And so I'm just going to read this excerpt from Melody Beattie's book and hope that in some way it provides a little bit of insight into what's going on in these situations. And by the way, Melody Beattie's book is really for codependency. I took a bulk of what she wrote and left it, but I made a few changes to make it really fit for this population. Here's the excerpt: letting go of those not in recovery. We can go forward with our life and recoveries, even though someone we love is not yet recovering. Picture a bridge. On one side of the bridge, it is cold and dark. We stood there with others in the cold and darkness, doubled over in pain. We were all in so much pain and despair. None of us wanted to be there, but we also did not know that there was a way out. We did not know there was a bridge. We thought we were trapped on a cliff. Then some of us got lucky. Our eyes opened by the grace of God, because it was time. We saw the bridge. People told us what was on the other side: warmth, light, and healing from our pain. We could barely glimpse or imagine this, but we decided to start the trek across the bridge anyway. We tried to convince the people around us on the cliff that there was a bridge to a better place, but they wouldn't listen. They couldn't see it. They couldn't believe. They were not ready for the journey. We decided to go alone because we believed, and because people on the other side were cheering us onward. The closer we got to the other side, the more we could see and feel that what we had been promised was real. There was light, warmth, and healing, and love. The other side was a better place. But now, there is a bridge between us and those on the other side. Sometimes we may be tempted to go back and drag them over with us, but it cannot be done. No one can be dragged or forced across this bridge. Each person must go at his or her own choice. When the time is right, some will come, some will stay on the other side. The choice is not ours. We can love them, we can wave to them, we can holler back and forth, we can cheer them on as others have cheered and encouraged us, but we cannot make them come over with us. If our time has come to cross the bridge, or if we have already crossed and are standing in the light and warmth, we do not have to feel guilty. It is where we are meant to be. We do not have to go back to the dark cliff because another's time has not yet come. The best thing we can do is stay in the light, because it reassures others that there is a better place. So I really love that. And I wish that I could have a conversation right now with all of you who are listening, because I would love to know what that evokes in you, what you think, what you feel after hearing that. I think for some people, it's probably quite empowering. And for some people, it's probably very sad. And some people, it might be very scary. For some people, it might feel very validating. You know, you might come away saying, yeah, this is us. You know, I'm walking over the bridge and my partner is still standing back there. And I keep trying to give him different ideas and ways to come, and he's not coming. And I wanted to acknowledge that this doesn't have to mean that if somebody eventually decides to heal, that you need to accept that and be there and say, great, I want this relationship still. Now I'll come and meet you. It could mean that you are there to cheer them on, meaning that you still want them to do well, you still want them to find peace, you still want them to be healthy, and you encourage them to come across. But that doesn't mean anything about your plans or decisions or thoughts about what you want to do in terms of that relationship. And I'm going to add that it's quite likely or possible that you won't want to be there to cheer them on, and that's okay too. And you can cheer them on again in your own heart if that feels authentic for you, or you can choose to close your heart and not cheer them on. You know, from a spiritual perspective, I would say that ultimate healing is about when we let go of that level of fury and resentment and even like thoughts of revenge, if it goes to that place, that that's not good for us and it's not good for people around us and it's not good for the planet and the world at large. But I think in particular, when we're in the pain and we're going through it, then, you know, it's really hard to be able to be empathic and loving and compassionate towards the person that hurt us, who's not doing the work to help us heal and to save the relationship. So all of this to say, it's a big topic. And at the same time, it can be simplified if you find yourself in a situation where your partner has caused you tremendous harm and they are not doing the work to help you heal. And if they are not doing the work to heal the relationship, even if they are saying that they are, words are not what's important here if they are not backed up by action. Let me say that again. There has to be a congruency between the words being said, I'm doing the work, I will do all the work, I'll do whatever it takes, I'm all in, whatever those words are. If they are not accompanied by measurable action, then you have to look at the lack of action rather than listen to the words, because otherwise you are going to stand on that cliff with that person and you're not going to cross the bridge, right? You're not going to go to the other side where you can find healing and light and warmth and all of those things. So my personal hope, of course, is always that couples will find a way to heal together and get through this, but that's just not always the way that it's going to be. And it's not the way that it necessarily should be. So I hope that everybody will think about this. I hope that there are betrayers who might be in this situation, and this might be a bit of a wake-up call, like, oh my God, my partner is right. You know, I have caused this, and now I have left her in a position where, you know, I'm still standing here at the cliff, and now she's having to sort of walk over that bridge by herself. And I don't want her to be walking the bridge by herself. I actually want to be with her, or I don't want her to get to the other side by herself. I want us to walk together hand in hand over the bridge, you know, and that could be a really good realization for you if you're in that case or if you're in that situation. Or you might realize that you're one of those people that's still on the cliff and you're not ready to cross over. But maybe you've been telling your partner that you are, and promising that you are, and promising you're going to do things and then not following up. And maybe if you find yourself in that position, that you could finally be congruent with your action and words and be honest about the fact that you're not ready and that you're not planning, at least for now, to cross over the bridge. So I hope that this is helpful. And I also hope it maybe gives you some things to think about and you can find some supportive people, people that you trust in your world that can talk to you about this and process with you. And I also hope that it gives everybody a reminder that you have choices. And no matter how painful and difficult our choices might be sometimes, so much so that we actually feel trapped and disempowered, the reality is that we are not trapped and we do have choices and we are empowered. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Helping Couples Heal podcast, where your healing is our number one priority. If you'd like additional resources about betrayal trauma or to learn more about our coaching services, please visit helpingcouplesheal.com or call 562-379-4325. Our help is available worldwide. Please support Helping Couples Heal in continuing to reach others impacted by betrayal trauma by leaving a review on iTunes and sharing this podcast with someone you care about. For additional support, follow us on Instagram and consider joining our Helping Couples Heal private Facebook community. This isn't an easy journey, but you don't have to do it alone. Once again, thank you for listening.